Good evening. I invite your attention to the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 4. The revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 4. A little earlier this evening, we sang, "The sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks." If there is a funeral service for me when I die, that is one of the three songs I want sung. Glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. This book of the revelation of Jesus Christ was given to comfort saints at about the end of the first century. This book was written about 96 A.D. by John, the beloved apostle, in exile on the island of Patmos for preaching the gospel. The Lord's churches at that time were going through very severe trials, tribulation, persecution. Many were being martyred and killed for their faith. And undoubtedly, there were many Christians staggering at what was going on and why they should be undergoing this for following Christ. God had a revelation for them, letting them know that the battle that was being fought against them had deeper undertones than even they knew. It was a battle against Satan, against his son, of Satan, against the Son of God. And the Lord wanted to encourage his churches, the Christians. And so he gave this revelation of what was going on and of what would happen in the end. He gave the revelation to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ gave it to his angel. The angel delivered it to John, and John wrote it and sent it to the seven churches of Asia Minor and also to Todd's Road Grace Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in St. Croix, Virgin Islands, and to the Lord's churches in wherever place they are in this day until he returns. This book is supposed to encourage us, and it does. If you understand the revelation, it encourages us. John portrays Jesus Christ in chapter 1 as walking in the midst of his churches with his pastors in his right hand. And then he gives epistles to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3. Tells them their shortcomings and where they need to make amends, and promises hope for those who overcome. And I hope and I pray that all of us are among those who are the overcomers. This book of the Revelation is divided into seven visions. The first vision is chapters 1, 2, and 3. And in chapter 4, we come to the second vision, and it commences with these words. After these things, that were the things regarding the seven churches in Asia Minor, John says, "I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven." We read that heaven has windows because God opens windows to give blessings to his people. Here is a door. A door is for entrance. I hope that if you are ever blessed to see the door of heaven, that it is not shut. The door was open. John saw it. a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet. Now that'll get your attention. A voice like a trumpet speaking with me saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. John had seen the present situation with the seven churches in Asia Minor, and now he's going to see what will happen immediately afterward. Come up here. Well, that raises a question. How do you get up there? John, come up here. He hears a voice in that open door. How do I get there? Well, if God wants you to go, He'll make it so that you go. John says, immediately I was in the Spirit. He is now in an ecstatic state, in a trance. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. John is ushered into heaven. Now let me clarify something about what he is here about to see. John will not here describe a scene of heaven. By that I mean that should you be blessed this night to leave this earthly life and enter into heaven's glory, do not expect to see what is here described. Elements, yes, and you may from time to time see what is here described, at least parts of it. But John is not here describing a scene of heaven. It may be called a scene in heaven, but even more than that, what John is here about to see is the entire universe from heaven's perspective, and there is a throne in the center of it, and one sitting on the throne. Wonder who that is. Now, there's no doubt about that. That throne in the center of the universe, that throne in heaven, is the throne of God the Father. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. Not really sure what all that means, except it's precious and it's glorious, and I do not know that we should go further than that. And there was a rainbow around the throne because God has still remembered His covenant that He made with Noah. And in appearance like an emerald, the most beautiful rainbow you have ever seen. Around the throne were 24 thrones, evidently in a circle around it. So that there is a throne here in the center of the universe, and around the throne, 24 thrones, all the way around, in a circle around. These 24 thrones are occupied by elders. For John says, I saw on the thrones 24 elders sitting. Why does anyone sit on a throne? Because he's ruling and he's reigning. And there is one on the throne in the center of the universe, ruling and reigning over all. And around his throne are 24 thrones, and there are others ruling with him. 24 of them. They represent the entire Church of Christ in its aggregate. Old Testament saints, the 12 tribes of Israel, and from the New Testament, the followers of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The entire Church of Christ sits on thrones around God's throne. And they're clothed in white robes, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, their King and their Redeemer. They had crowns of gold on their heads, for He had promised them that they would rule and reign with Him. And they do. They do. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices, because God is glorious, and He's just letting you know something about it. What an awesome sight. I hear thunder, I hear lightning, and I hear voices, because it's God's throne. And something awesome is about to happen. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. That is the Holy Spirit. He is there. Seven is a number of completion and perfection and deity. And this is the Holy Spirit right before God's throne. There He is. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. Perhaps that sea of glass in which these elders have washed their garments and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. A sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. This is God's throne. God is on His throne. Four living creatures. What are they doing? Are they guarding the throne?
Do you really think God's throne needs to be guarded?
No, they're there. These are a very high order of angelic beings. They are there to do whatever God says. They wait for His bid and call. These are among the four of the highest of the order of the angels. They are four in number. That's the number of the earth. The four winds of the earth, the four corners of the earth. These are His servants ready to go in whatever part of the earth He sends them. They're full of eyes in front and in back. They see all. The first living creature was like a lion. That symbolizes strength. The second living creature like a calf. That symbolizes service. The third living creature had a face like a man. That symbolizes intelligence. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And that symbolizes swiftness. And these are there around God's throne, ready to do His will and His bidding. And they're capable of doing so. He has made them able to do so by the things you have just read concerning them. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And that's all they do on this occasion. They stand there, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," before His throne, incessantly. They hear, praise God for His holiness, His omnipotence, His eternity, and His immutability, the One who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, the church of Christ, all the saints, Old and New Testament eras, they fall down before Him, God the Father, who sits on the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." These four living creatures praise Him because of His holiness and omnipotence, eternity and immutability. And the elders praise Him for His great and glorious work of creation. "And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne," hand of authority, the right hand, "a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." I saw a scroll. Notice, it is written on the inside and the back. People did not write on the back of a scroll. You wrote on the inside and rolled it up.
Why does this one have writing on both the front and the back? Because there was too much to put on the inside. It would not all fit. So God had something to write, and He wrote it up, filled up the inside of it, and then turned it over and started writing on the backside, and then rolled it up. Whatever it is, it was too voluminous to fit on the one side. Seven seals. It is unrevealed. It is unexecuted. I'll tell you right now that this scroll is God's eternal decree for His people, particularly in this day and age. John saw it sealed, still sealed. It's not been opened. What is about to happen? I'm going to show you things which must shortly take place. How am I supposed to know? The scroll is all rolled up. It's all sealed. How are we supposed to know? And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth, notice, on the earth, John sees not only heaven, but he sees on the earth or under the earth, was able to open the scroll or to look at it. No one. Samson, you're the strongest man we know. Go open that scroll. Oh, if human strength could open that scroll, Samson can do it. And Samson says, "No, human strength will not open it. And besides, I'm not worthy." Solomon, you're the wisest man we know. Oh, surely wisdom might open that scroll. Go up there and open that scroll with your wisdom. And Solomon would say, "No, wisdom will not open that scroll. And besides, I am not worthy." David, you have regal authority like no other king that we know. Take your regal authority and open that scroll. And David says, "Regal authority will not open that scroll. And besides, I am not worthy." Joshua, you're a military genius. Go up there and with your military genius, open that scroll. And Joshua would say, "Military genius will not open that scroll. And besides, I am not worthy." Moses, you're the greatest legal mind we know. Take your legal expertise up to God's throne, and with your legal expertise, open that scroll. And Moses would say, "Legal knowledge will not open that scroll. And besides, I'm not worthy." Well, is there no one here? Is it? Can you open it? Can you? Is there no one here? John looks around and no one can open it. And he says, "I wept," verse 4. "I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll." No one could even look at it. No one can execute God's purpose. God's got a purpose and God's got a decree, and no one can bring it to pass. But one of the elders said to me, "One of the redeemed, do not weep. John, 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 do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Do you know who he is? Yes, I know who he is. Prophesying in Genesis chapter 14. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet, till Shiloh come." Yeah, I know about the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I know about Judah, the tribe of the kings of David and Solomon and all the kings of Israel and Judah. I know about the Lion of the tribe of Judah that would be the foremost ruler among God's people.
He's also the root of David, the branch of David, and also David's root, indicating both his humanity and his deity. And he has prevailed. Not that he will. He has prevailed, one of the elders says. And therefore he will open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. You mean he has already prevailed? Yes, that's what I said. He has prevailed.
Well, when did the line of Judah prevail?
Well, John, you were there.
When? Where?
Calvary. Did you not hear him in his glorious death exclaim in victory, "It is finished"?
Yes, I heard that.
Well, that's when he prevailed. That's when he prevailed. He had conquered. God sent him on a mission to this earth. And there on Calvary, he says, "All my enemies have gathered around me. And I have prevailed. And it is finished." The lion of the tribe of Judah. And John here told that he has prevailed to open the scroll. He will loose its seven seals. And John looks for him. Where is he? Where is the lion of the tribe of Judah? And John looks and he does not see the lion of the tribe of Judah. Where is he? And I looked, and behold, while John is looking for the lion of the tribe of Judah, he says that in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders, in the middle of God's congregation, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. And by the way, that English word slain does not do justice to the word. The Greek word means slaughtered. Slaughtered. Not merely killed. Slaughtered. I saw a lamb. The lion is a lamb. The lion rules. And the lamb has been slaughtered. And it's all the same person. I saw a lamb as though it had been slain. Slaughtered. Having seven horns. That's all the authority he needs. He has seven eyes. He's got omniscience, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He's filled with God's Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of God. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. It was a bit more involved than that. He's in the middle of the congregation among the elders, which means God's on his throne with the scroll in his right hand. This means that he's got to go up to God's throne. It just so happens there are four living creatures around the throne. He approaches the throne. The four living creatures give way. Stand back. And he walks up to God's throne. And he did it in his ascension into glory. He prevailed on Calvary. And there in God's throne room, he ascends to the throne of God on high. And he says, "Father, give me that scroll. Give me that scroll." And the Father handed the scroll to him. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, an instrument of joyful music. They have golden bowls, precious bowls, full of incense. And the incense are the prayers of the saints. The saints say, "May my prayer be set before you like incense." Oftentimes in Scripture, prayers are compared to incense. Why? Well,
Why do you burn incense? It smells good. When we pray to God, He sniffs the prayers of His people, and they smell so good. There was an altar of incense there in that tabernacle. There was one in the temple. There is an altar of incense in heaven. And what's the purpose? Prayers going forth. These elders have golden bowls full of incense, and they're offering their prayers there before God as they play their harps and with their crowns on their head, and they sang a new song, a new song. The old song was that of God as Creator, but now they sing a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for You were slaughtered." That's what made Him worthy. His worthiness is what happened on Calvary. You have redeemed us to God by Your blood. This is a song that only the redeemed can sing. You have redeemed us to God by Your blood out of every tribe. That's every ethnic group. Every tongue. That's every linguistic group. Every people. That's every political group. Every nation. That's every social group. Out of. That's particular redemption. Out of. You did not redeem every tribe and tongue and people and nation, but You redeemed the people out of every one of the groups. And You made us kings. You know, we're now on the 24 thrones. You made us kings and priests. We are a kingdom of priests and a priesthood of kings. And we shall reign on the earth. And we do it through our prayers. Do you realize that you and I right now are ruling and reigning on this earth? And we do it by our prayers. Our prayers. God executes His will by the prayers of His people. And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. Many angels. A while ago, we heard about only the four living creatures. They are an angelic order of beings. But now there are many angels. And they're around the throne and around the living creatures and the elders. So now you see, observe, we have a throne. We have four living creatures around the throne. We have the Holy Spirit before the throne. The Lion of the tribe of Judah and the slaughtered lamb has come out of that congregation. But beyond the 24 elders are these angels. Around the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and just too many to count. Thousands and thousands and a few more thousands, and multiply that by 10 and then a few more. You know, how many angels does God have? All He wants. All He wants. How many is that? All He wants. He didn't tell us how many. It's His business how many there are. But they're there. And they have something to say. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Watch this now. Seven things. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Would you like to know the difference between all those seven things? I would too, because I do not know. I just know. It just suffices me to know that He is worthy of every form of praise we can give to Him. He's worthy of it. Sevenfold, He's worthy of it. All that we would give it to Him. He's worthy. Why do we keep it from Him? Why do we not praise Him like we should? Why do we not? Why are we so worldly minded when He is so worthy of our praise and honor and adoration? Why? Why? Yeah, He'll get it there. He receives it in glory. And every creature, I told you folks, this is a scene of the universe from heaven's perspective. And it was a scene in heaven on the day of the ascension of Jesus Christ. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, buried therein, and all that are in them I heard saying, included in this number is old Satan. Satan's got a song to sing at the coronation of King Jesus, and here it is. Satan sings, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. For every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Jehovah to the glory of God the Father. Even the devil and his demons are going to bow there before Him. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. What does that mean? There's only one throne. And there's only one on it. And He said to the Son, "Here, Son, come sit with Me on My right hand." Now the Son's on His throne. On His Father's throne, which is His own throne. And the devil's got to admit, Jesus won. He's enthroned. Ascended into glory. Walked up the steps to God's throne. Took the decree out of His hand. And He's about to reveal it all. We don't have time to get into that tonight. That'll be the next chapter. Just suffice it to know that every creature in this universe will praise Jesus Christ and give Him the glory and the honor He deserves. And I'm going to do it now. I want to do it now. He will never suffer a coup because He sits on the throne forever and ever. Their mortar cannot reach His throne room. The wildest imagination of Star Wars with all its weaponry comes nowhere close to reaching His throne. They can't find it in the first place. Forever. Forever. Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him who lives forever. Well, you will one of these days. I hope you already have. I want to bow my unworthy knees right now. I have. I will continue to do so. And I pray you will. I look forward one of these days to joining that heavenly host, praising Jesus Christ. on His throne. And I hope that when I do, you'll be there with me.